Perhaps he wished to ask these beings for some personal spiritual guidance, but what an awkward thing to do as a commander from the Galactic Federation of Worlds, to request personal guidance of beings from the Intergalactic Confederation on a diplomatic visit. There was something I couldn't access in his thoughts, and my intuition was telling me that I would soon enough learn the answer, and that it would be amazing. Something felt different with these mysterious beings of the Intergalactic Confederation. They were not like any other, and I could sense it. I hadn't met any of them yet, but there was a peculiar psychic resonance with them. I could feel them near, as if the accumulated or as if hundreds of thousands of them arriving in these magnificent ships was shaking the very frequency of this entire planetary system and vibrating down to the core of my own DNA, activating something within me. These seeders, who are they? As a safety protocol, I never know in advance the exact time or method of how I will leave the ground. Sometimes Thorhan beams me up with anti-gravity blue tractor beams that de-densify obstacles along the way, and sometimes he teleports my light body and re-densifies it as a physical copy of my Earth envelope. That night, he chose this latter method. I materialized in my usual clear blue uniform with density belt and black boots on. I always tap my feet twice on the floor when I beam up in his ship, in one way or the other, to make sure that I am whole and physically operational. I know it's funny, but I always do that. To my great surprise, we were not in a scout ship of the Federation, nor were we in Thorhan's command ship. I recognize that we were instead in the Aorai craft that I had seen earlier. Oh my goodness! I exclaimed with excitement. The interior was very bright and it took time for my eyes to adapt to the strong luminosity. Thorhan gently took my hand and led me to the middle of the wide semicircular command room. The air flowing into my lungs had a strange sparkly texture, but it wasn't too uncomfortable. I just needed to get used to it by not paying attention, as I often do, and trust the frequency belt to do its job. The physicality of Thorhan's hand had a grounding effect on me, and as I relaxed, my vision adjusted. Of course, relaxing implies a rise in frequency of my electromagnetic field, so it makes sense that my vision improves when it comes to see clearer in a higher frequency. The front screen seemed at first blurry to me, but in seconds, I could contemplate the glorious starry heavens. I noticed that Thorhan wasn't wearing his commander uniform, but was in casual clothes, a long silky tunic on ample trousers. Note, when I employ the expression silk-like or silky, I don't mean real proper silk as we know it on Earth. These people would never wear any fabric woven from the suffering of animals or insects. I couldn't get past this floating sensation within my body, and I was told it had to do with the higher frequency on the ship. I watched crew members pass through walls, which caught my attention greatly. Then, Jupiter was there, just there, right in front of us, magnificent giant of stormy gases and twirling clouds. We passed the tempestuous celestial king and headed toward one of his queens, Ganymede. This moon is bigger than the planet Mercury and the largest moon in the Sol system. It is also a strong magnetic field. And here they were, on the left side of the screen, the glorious fleet of the Intergalactic Confederation. My whole being shivered. I know how some ships can feel alive because of the artificial intelligence inhabiting them, but these ones felt as if they were truly alive. This fleet emanated an intense, organic presence, but I could also feel a strong, vibrant frequency being broadcast from these ships, like a crystalline frequency. Truly fascinating. And we hadn't approached them yet up close. What type of beings traveled in these splendid crafts? What would they look like? Thorhan mentioned the Aegon. The fleet from the Intergalactic Confederation seen from the Aorai ship. Flying over Ganymede. Bottom right, we can see Jupiter on the left, and the moon Io in background. I knew these were from the galaxy we call Fornax, and they are tall blonde people smelling like flowers. He mentioned as well the Partal. Oh my goodness, I was dying to meet them. Alex Collier spoke about the Partal as a life-seeding culture. Did they look human? I would probably find out very shortly. My heartbeat accelerated at this simple thought. And the others, who were they, what were they looking like? Calm down, gently said Thorhan. Because you are up for a surprise, so save your energy. This was the more effective answer for generating the opposite reaction of calming me down. We were now approaching one of the gigantic luminescent motherships and our spherical ship slowed down, sliding under the white luminescent belly of the gigantic craft. Yes, it was alive, I could undoubtedly feel it now. I cannot explain why or how, but it was absolutely alive. I could sense that it had a consciousness, but there was an intriguing higher level of life about it. This ship truly was a living organism. I had a further confirmation when I saw the circular row of organic-looking airlocks. We were about to penetrate inside of a living entity. The entrance of the airlock reminded me of a botanical opening, a floral aperture or the entrance of an epithelial duct. The tunnel was long and organic, made with rings of a curious translucent matter connected to each other by a luminescent membrane. The conduit opened into a gigantic hall, so big that we couldn't even see the ceiling. Our ship landed on a smooth surface. I thought about entering a womb made of crystalline structures, bathed in a bright iridescent light. A womb, yes, it really felt like that. This wasn't like anything I had ever seen before, and I have seen plenty of weird things in my life. The way our spherical Ori ship landed on that smooth, shimmering surface was very evocative of landing inside of a womb constructed of crystalline material, crystallized in outcropping clusters in several places. Thorhan smiled, inviting me to accompany him into the airlock. Four Ori crew members followed us. An oval door opened in the wall and a narrow ramp materialized, touching ground about 50 ft below. As I stepped outside of our craft and stood for a moment at the top of the ramp, I noticed a change in the bioenergy field generated by my frequency belt. I felt a static shiver all over my skin, even as I wore a suit, lasting for a few seconds. I love technology. It can be extremely frustrating at times living on Earth, when I have access to these technologies in my travels and I still need to deal with primitive resources available down the where I live. The contrast between these two experiences can be harsh. Anyway, anything about Earth had no place in this wondrous moment. The entrance airlocks to access the inside of the Cedar's mothership. Ori ship hovering inside the access tunnel leading to the inside of the Cedar's mothership. When I spoke to Thorhan, I heard the sound of my voice slightly suffocated. It probably had to do with the new environmental conditions and the change in my biofield. We walked down to the ground level and I stepped onto the smooth glistening floor. It felt slightly spongy. There was a wide entrance what looked like a hall or a large corridor, about 300 feet from where we had landed, and a bright green light emanated from it. We saw silhouettes of people coming out of it and moving towards us. As they approached, I noticed various distinctive features among them. The welcoming committee was composed of 5 different species. -8 feet tall, slim, elegant humanoids who looked like the Kaminoans in Star Wars Episode 2, but with a slightly shorter neck. Their skin was grayish blue. They had magnificent large eyes, no hair, a small nose and a thin mouth. Tall white humans with straight pale blonde to white hair, longer arms with longer fingers, very slanted blue eyes and very pale skin. A humanoid species similar to the Ahil, blonde hair, pale skin, blue eyes. These ones were elegant and very elfic looking. They had familiar body proportions. Probably the Egoni. A totally new species of its own, resembling a 5.5 feet FNG, egg, Star Trek Deep Space Nine. A friendly species of small greys that I had never seen before, with huge slanted eyes, almost vertical, and so narrow to each other at the root of the nose that they nearly joined. These last beings were smiling joyfully, compared to the others who seemed more solemn. As the delegation approached to meet us, I sensed a change in the ambient energies, the air filled with power. This strange radiation was mainly coming from the tall white humanoids. I noticed a particularity about them: their arms were slightly longer in proportion than usual. The tip of their fingers touched just above their knees. A female among them stepped forward and my whole being shivered, entranced. She wore a white skin tight suit with metallic reflections, and her very long hair had a silver luminescence around it. Her slanted eyes were glowing with a clear blue light so bright that I couldn't distinguish the edge of her pupils. Her lips were pale and she had high cheekbones. Her fingers were long, thin and elegant. Inside the mothership, the delegation of representatives from the Intergalactic Confederation approaching. This special moment was my first encounter with Una. She scanned us with a piercing look, then she focused her attention on Thorhan, who closed his eyes. As I stood beside him, I could hear him breathing deeper. Something emotional was happening within him as he entered into telepathic contact with the extraterrestrial entity. What was she telling him that could move him so profoundly? My heartbeat accelerated when I realized that I could be next. None of them had spoken yet. There was a strange silence. The tall white people were strikingly beautiful. But I was more fascinated by the Kaminoan-looking beings, those with blue skin and an elongated neck. There was something familiar about them that made my blood restless, and emotional too. Their aura emanated an extremely ancient resonance. Their grace and elegance was out of this world, and their eyes were windows to the unfathomable mysteries of the cosmos. "Who are you?" I thought in my mind, staring at one of the Kaminoan-like beings with wonderment. He heard me and instantly set his eyes upon me. My consciousness was hit with a vortex of a billion galaxies. And here was my first contact with a member of the original Partal race. I stumbled backwards with surprise, and fortunately, Thorhan caught my arm to save me from an embarrassing fall. This event interrupted his telepathic conversation with the tall white lady, who slowly pivoted to stare at me. It was now, this was the moment, a powerful frequential wave washed over my whole being as she connected to me. She merged her mind to mine, and I felt as if my consciousness expanded to the limits of the universe. I was expecting to hear a voice in my head, as usually happens with telepathic contact, but here it was completely different. All of a sudden I heard modulated frequencies very similar to the way dolphins communicate with each other. It really sounded alike. Not humpback whales, number dolphins. It was most surprising. Striking. I quickly grasped that each sonic word was a package containing encoded information such as images, stories, data, voices and feelings. Holographic data encoded in nodes, or bundles, but made with frequencies and carried on a sort of what could be described by radio waves. This was overwhelming with indescribable emotions. Tears rolled down my cheeks and my breathing trembled. The reassuring hand of Thorhan pressing mine helped me ground and relax. Feeling safe, I opened myself completely, wholly, to her. Meeting the delegation of the Sealers. That moment when Thorhan receives, first, a soul contact with Una. I saw a world, very far away in another galaxy. The name of this beautiful, heavenly world, was Imria. I felt overwhelmed by the realization that this name sounded very familiar, because it had survived in my soul memory, embedded very deeply. Indeed, I wrote a novel 2 years ago, using this name encoded in my subconscious, to describe the most beautiful planet of all, Imria, glowing at night in magnificent fluorescent lights, due to a luminescent component in the vegetation. This element will become very important later. Home, I heard this word blasting with emotion in my heart. Home. My soul belonged to Imria's planetary matrix. This is where my consciousness was first seeded from source and where it developed. I am extremely old. I was born as one of them, and so was Thorhan, and also some people I know who are incarnated on Earth. I was unlocked, my memory blasted open. I was one of them. This explained the resonance and activation of a cellular memory in my veins ever since the Cedars arrived. The expansion of my heart into the infinite immortality of love, the reunion, the return. We seeded humanity in Nataru, and many of us chose to be guardians and guides, by entering the cycle of incarnations among the races of our children. I chose this journey because I wanted to learn what it is to be human. I wanted to experience every stumbling, every wandering and wandering of the human children of Nataru. We were legions. We decided to forget, in order to allow the experience to unfold, until the day we would remember who we truly are. This moment would confirm that the human race we incarnated into was ready to step up as a galactic and intergalactic culture. Our original names have no correspondence in any bidimensional Earth language and cannot be translated. Our names are frequencies, they are sound harmonies, they are music. The very tall ones who look like Kaminoans are the original Partal race, but with time, this name has applied to the group of 24 cedar cultures. We of the Partal have bases on Earth, primarily within the Himalayan mountains close to the border of India and China, but as well in the Atlantic Ocean. We also have off-planet bases in the solar system. Ganymede is our main outpost here. Suddenly, everything fell in place for me. Prior to recontacting me in November 2018, Thorhan stayed for a short while in a base in the Himalayas, promising me to never talk about it. To this day, Thorhan is also from the same place as me. We've both incarnated several times on Earth, as well as in the Pleiades 300 years in the future, where we are still attached to, while in this Earth mission. From our incarnation in the Pleiades, we chose to participate to the liberation of Terra. While Thorhan traveled directly and physically from the Ashara, Tegeta, system a little more than 50 years ago and joined the Galactic Federation of Worlds as a pilot, I chose instead to follow the Starseed Envoy program. I put my body envelope into stasis and transferred my Isbi, soul, into a newborn child on planet Earth, in a specific bloodline that was prepared for the purpose. Thorhan and I incarnated also together in so many, many, other places before, but our souls are originally from elsewhere, out of the Nataru galaxy. We took this journey together, as many did. The journey to Nataru. When I complete my mission on Earth, after this incarnation has naturally come to term, we will go back to Era 300 years from now in the future, enjoy and live out the rest of our incarnations there, that was put on hold. And when the moment will come, when it feels right, we will go back to Emria, somewhere in a distant galaxy not yet discovered by the Earth people. The tall white lady, Una, gave me back the clarity of my memory and a broader vision of relative time and dimensions. I can now remember everything. As long and as far as my mind goes, it is infinite. There are no more boundaries. I experienced a blast of consciousness, a celebration and an exaltation of the soul. She told me that official Earth civilian contact with the Star Nations is near. She also added this, which I understood was referring to the divine power in each human. The sleeping gods awaken. Humans of Terra are gods waking up from a very long sleep, and the founders are back to watch the awakening. The human genome was seeded on Terra by the Partal people from the Intergalactic Confederation a very long time ago. 11 intergalactic genomes were added to the DNA of a base primate creature that would develop with time, according to the natural laws of evolution, taking the path toward becoming human. This process was performed over a long period of time. Later through the ages of this planet, it also received the genetic heritage of 10 new groups of visitors from diverse origins. The Anunnaki, humanoid Lyrans such as Hulantali, races from the Centaurian systems, Epsilon Eridani, Tau Ceti and a few others, as well as some reptilians in the lot, which made it a total of 22 interstellar species making up the Earth human genome, 1 primary plus 11 intergalactic plus 10 galactic. In the human genome, there are considerable elements of extraterrestrial material that originate from other galaxies. If we don't have the names of all our forefathers, it is because also many of these names are just frequencies or simply not translatable in any Earth language. My first attempt to understand who these people were, regarding the few knowledge I had at the time of these first encounters, the heights are approximative. It took me a while to recover from this encounter, psychologically, emotionally, and physically. This was a huge transformational experience for me to process. These revelations have changed my life forever. And in the following days after this event, I felt energetically drained as everything shifted for me into a higher state of awareness. A second encounter with the intergalactic people occurred only a few days later, but in a very different way. In the middle of the afternoon, I suddenly felt very sleepy and I had no other choice than to lie down on my bed. I just couldn't resist it. I had the time to notice a green glow forming around me, then I heard again the dolphin-like frequencies. I knew in this instant that the people from the Intergalactic Confederation were making contact. I finally surrendered to the artificially induced sleep. My consciousness was propelled into a green vortex and all of a sudden, I found myself on board the mothership that I had visited a few days before. This time, I wasn't there physically with my body but in a projection of consciousness. In the aspect of a pure light body, I found myself in a beautiful garden with luxurious opalescent vegetation and crystal clusters emerging here and there. I could hear the gurgling waters of a running stream. The frequency in the air was pure ethereal music. Some tall white beings walked past in the background, moving with grace and elegance. I sensed a familiar presence. The tall white lady, Una, was here. She wore the same glistening white suit and her beautiful long white hair waved with grace as she walked towards me. Her slanted eyes were like vibrant celestine crystals. I needed no words to communicate with her, our consciousnesses were bound one to another. Once again, she showed me our beautiful home world and memories of times past. Although she gave me a name that I can use to refer to her, Una, I cannot transcribe her true name exactly, because it is frequencies and not Earth verbal language, nor tell who she specifically is to me, but I can tell this, we are part of the same soul group. Una is more of a title, that means the forefront one, or emissary. In our world, there is no such a thing as family titles such as sister, mother or daughter, we are simply relatives from the same soul group. Some individuals may play in turn, throughout diverse incarnations, the interchangeable roles of sister, mother, daughter or friend. In truth, there is no structure or hierarchy in a soul family, except for the eternal bounds between soulmates, which is something of a different nature and of a deeper level. I understood that all questions needed to be asked within our own self first. Our higher self knows everything, because it can connect to everything. Second visit on board Una's ship. Drawing of the delegation from the Intergalactic Confederation led by Una. The 24 Cedar Races. To truly know something or someone, we need to interface or merge with it heart to heart. All we need to do is to remember who we are, where we come from, and where we are going. All is one, time, space, life, consciousness, all, is, one. Remembering who we are, is reconnecting with this oneness and with our eternal memory. Everything we have lived and experienced on our journey is recorded within the memory of our soul. All we need to do is disconnect from the disturbances of the temporary incarnation plane and turn our focus inwards, to meet the magnificent soul being who resides in this temporary flesh suit. Attuning to this soul being is to take our power back. For when we are attuned to the frequency of our soul, we are in tune with the whole universe and with universal truth. A soul is a fractal of source. We need no priest, no religion, and no church to connect with the source creator. We all have a direct connection. That is why the Dark Ones have worked so hard to suppress our awareness of this natural power, our entitled sovereignty. The key to everything, to our power, to our memory, to our liberty, is enciphered into two simple words, know thyself. When you are in deep space, the galaxies look like sparkling wildflowers in a velvet field. They are the shimmering dew of the universe, and in an enrapturing dance, they carry the most precious thing of all in their womb, life. Each of them is a mother, and many call them as such. Here follows the illustrated repertoire of the 24 Cedar races that originate from many different mothers and formed an intergalactic council. The Intergalactic Confederation gathers a prodigious number of galaxies in this part of the universe, includes many different sub-federations and councils, and the 24 Cedars are one of them. Here they are. Part Al. Origin, they are the oldest known culture and the eldest of the 24 founder races, although probably not the most ancient in this universe. Their civilization is spread throughout many galaxies and their point of origin remains uncharted. Species and appearance, biological humanoid. They are slightly luminescent, and their skin is iridescent blue with a beautiful silverness to it. They are very tall, about 9 ft tall, and slender. They have 5 long fingers at each hand, thin limbs and a long elegant neck. Their cranium is slightly elongated towards the back. Their magnificent eyes are large and shimmering with stars. I've noticed, when they walk, an ample swaying of their arms to balance their elongated body. 7th density. Communication. They are a uniquely telepathic species. Outposts in the Sol system, none. Partaloltian. Origin, galaxy, and GC 7331, Pegasus Galactic Cluster, Star System, Alta, Homeworld, Imria. Species and appearance, biological humanoid. They are 9 ft tall with a delicate white, slightly translucent skin. Their eyes are very slanted, Asian-like, and their pupils have all shades of blues and grays, with a mesmerizing crystal gleam. 6th density. Communication, vocal and telepathic. In both cases, they can speak a wide range of vocal languages such as Earth languages, but also can express themselves by this extraordinary coded language, carrying bundles of holographic information on frequencies waves. When heard, it sounds like dolphins talk. Connected to a collective consciousness. Outposts in Sol system, Terra, Atlantis, La Paz Valley, Himalayas, Ganymede, Horseshoe area. Altian, Ashai. Origin, galaxy NGC 1300, Eridanus Galactic Cluster, 75 MLE from Earth. Their civilization expands on hundreds of star systems. Species and appearance, insectoid. Communication, telepathic only, due to a recent ascension into 7th density, although in the recent past when they visited Earth and established a colony, they were still verbal. Outposts in Sol system, Terra, ancient Mu colony and ancient Mars colony. Some of their descendants are still living on Mars. Ashai. Aragon. Origin, galaxy NGC 3842 in the Leo cluster. Homeworld, Noia, system of 7 planets, 330 MLE from Earth. Species and appearance, reptiloid. Communication, vocal and telepathic. Outposts in Sol system, none. Aragon. Hoovids. Origin, galaxy NGC 6702, visible through the Lyra constellation. Uva is the star system that is the center and the origin of their culture, which is widely spread in their galaxy. Species and appearance, human, smaller, darker skin, darker hair, live up 500,000 to 150,000 years, 3 polarities. Communication, vocal and telepathic. Outposts in Sol system, Terra, 1 colony in inner Earth. Hoovid. Egoni. Origin, galaxy, UDF J39546284, Fornax, 13.2 billion Li. Homeworld of origin, Horaean. Species and appearance, human 7 ft tall, fair iridescent skin, fair hair dash smell like flowers, clear eyes. Communication, vocal and telepathic. Outposts in Sol system, Terra, Russia, Ukraine, Siberia. Egon. Zedneil. Origin, galaxy, and GC 1924, visible through the Orion constellation. Homeworld, Uzluyul, followed by weird sounds. Species and appearance, tall white translucent humanoid. Route trace for some species of greys, although a larger amount of tall grey species originate from this galaxy, Nataru. Connected to a collective consciousness. Communication, telepathic. Outposts in Sol system, ancient outposts on Neptune and Uranus. Zedneil. Moratrium. Origin, galaxy NGC 6745, visible through the Lyra constellation, 206 MLE from Earth. Homeworld, Myrex. Species and appearance, amphibian humanoid with highly extended psychic abilities. Communication, telepathic, vocal on specific occasions when they produce frequencies as a weapon, or want to project a manipulation onto the holographic fabric of reality. Their voice sounds like a monochord chant that can heal, dismantle or create, and even open interdimensional vortices.